Morning. Thank you, Nathaniel. I thought he was just going to continue to preach, which I wouldn't have minded at all. Yes, the Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. If it wasn't for him, his sacrifice, and if he hasn't risen, we would not be here after 2,000 years. Isn't it awesome? And last, on Friday night, we had an awesome service. We had some testimonies shared. It was just phenomenal testimonies, testimonies of people who have gone through life and who are going through life, like each one of us. And I also said that we are a bunch of broken people. And because we are a bunch of broken people, we need the help of God. We also need the help of each other to get on in life. It is, we're never meant to do life on our own, and we were never meant to do life without God, but also without people in our lives. There are times the devil wants us to seclude ourselves, isolate ourselves first and foremost. He wants us to isolate from God, and he makes you disappointed with church. He makes you disappointed with people, and that in turn transfers to being disappointed with God. But the whole point of the devil is to distract you from God and to take God out of your life, and then eventually also take people out of your life who are going to challenge you, who are going to ask the hard questions. It is easy to have people in our lives who are going to say yes to everything that you say. But it is always good to have someone who's going to challenge you when you say something. When you say, this is what I feel like doing, I want somebody to say, hey, have you thought of this? I want people to challenge me when I say, oh, I don't feel like going to church this morning. I want somebody to say, hey, come on, let's go to church. Or when I don't feel like praying, come on, let's pray. When I don't feel like reading the word, come on, let's do it. But the whole thing is, the reason that we are created in this way is because we need it. We want God. We are meant to have God in our lives. And as we know the story, that when sin came in, we were separated from God, and God had to send his only begotten son to die for you and for me. As I said, as I was saying, there were a lot of amazing stories that we heard of restored marriages, restored relationships, people who were on the brink of suicide and coming back into life, which has been awesome. And I remember my childhood days. I remember we used to have a sunrise service. Back in India, you have these sunrise services. They're like 5 o'clock in the morning or something like that. And I used to be really excited about going to those sunrise services as a little kid. And you're all prepared, but also we Indians have, or all of us have, a lot of good food when there is a festival. But also, as a child, I remember having new clothes that you would wear, and maybe you would get a toy for a festival. And I was really excited about it. I remember those days when I would be excited to get up in the morning to go to the sunrise service on the top of a hill. In the city, they would have this massive cross, and those were my fantastic memories of it, and they continue to be with me. But also this morning, I just wanted us to go through a few things. One of them is that Jesus spoke 7 words, last words. And in Indian context, we do on a Good Friday, we go through all those 7 words, and somebody speaks from 12 o'clock to 3 o'clock. In the afternoon, you go through all of this, and you're fasting, and you're eating only vegetarian, not meat, and all these sort of things, which are completely not biblical, but you do that. We follow the unbiblical ones very religiously rather than following those that are in the Bible. But anyway, that's a different story. But let's go into this words. I'm just going to read them through for you. The first one was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's in Luke chapter 23, verse 34. And the second one is, truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. That was to one of the thieves. Luke chapter 23, verse 43. Woman, the third one is, woman, behold your son. And that's about his mother. And son, behold your mother. He was passing the responsibility to one of the disciples. John chapter 19, verse 26 to 27. And the fourth one is, my God, why have you forsaken me? Matthew 27, 46. And the fifth one is, I thirst. And the sixth one is very significant, I believe. It is finished. John chapter 19, verse 30. And the seventh one is, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Luke chapter 23, 46. But today I just want to talk a little bit about it is finished. It is finished. There's a Greek word, tetelestai, or however you say it. This is how an Indian says it, but you can say the way that you want it. And Greek scholars, you can correct me later on, not now. But what it means is it is an accountant's term. It is an accounting term that means paid in full. Paid in full. When Jesus uttered these words, he was declaring the debt owed to God the Father was wiped away completely and forever. Not that Jesus wiped away any debt that he owed to the Father, but it was our debt of sin that he was wiping it all off so that we can receive the gift of salvation and walk into the presence of God in boldness. And we also sang about the song of the great exchange. Jesus took all our sin and he has given us his righteousness. And also when he says it is finished, he has also fulfilled those 300 odd prophecies that were there about the Son of God. In the Old Testament, the prophecies, the symbols, and it is everything about the Messiah were all finished in there. He says it is finished. To bring to an end, or when it says it is finished, it is to bring to an end, complete, or to accomplish. For me, if I ran a marathon, if, that's a big if, which I will most probably never do that in my life. Even a half marathon is like when you run and you can see these people I've done it. But then there is the expression of joy. It is the expression of accomplishment. It is the expression of hard work that has gone through all of this to actually fulfill that. That's the sort of a setup that is. But I believe that Jesus was saying, hey, everything that God has wanted me to do has been accomplished so that you and so that we can have more sons and daughters in the kingdom of God. And that's you and me. It is amazing. But before I go there, so this is what it is. When he says it is finished, there is nothing that you and I need to do to actually get into the presence of God. There are times when you think you're going to pray more, you're going to give more, you're going to read more, you're going to love people more, so that God's going to turn his face towards you. That was my belief. That was my brought up. As a Christian, my beliefs and my brought up was that. So if you're a good boy, God's going to turn towards you. If you give, you will get. If you do this, God's going to turn. But the thing is, there is nothing that you and I can do for God to turn his face towards you. But the reason is because he's already turned his face towards you. The reason that you're alive, the reason that I'm alive still is because God's face is turned towards you. If God's face would have been turned away from you, then we would be, because God has already turned his face away from us. And that is the reason Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And he says, God, why have you turned your face away? So when Jesus paid the price for us, turned so that now we can actually go boldly into the presence of God. So the face of God is turned towards you. He's in love with you. He's going after you. And doesn't matter where you are, what you're doing. And this is what I really love about the Easter story too. So he died and then there was disappointment. And if you go into John chapter 20, it starts off with the disciples. There were about seven or disciples who were completely disappointed. They've met Jesus a couple of times, but I think they still haven't got their head around it. And they were wondering what was happening. Because I believe if I was in the place of those disciples, my world before Jesus died would have been a completely different world. I would have been the boss of the city. I would have been the boss of the nation because I'm walking with this guy. He is my boss. He is my leader. He is my rabbi with whom I'm walking. He will turn water into wine. How cool is that? All the wine drinkers said, amen. How cool is that? And the thing is, when you are hungry, man, bang, there's food. When there's dead people going around, he will just stop them and he will Rise them up. So they're blind people when they yell out and shout, and then they can see. And all these miracle after miracle after miracle are happening. And this is all happening in just 3.5 years. And if I was hanging out with a man like that, I would be the boss. I would be more than conqueror. I would be walking like Yale. Don't mess with me. That's the attitude with which I would be walking around. I'll be like, hey, any problem that you're having, I've got the guy. I will sort it out. Don't worry about it. That's how I would be. And that's the environment that they were in for 3.5 years. And then suddenly Jesus starts to talk a little bit different. He's saying, I'm going to go, and I go. The Comforter is going to come. He's going to dwell in you. It is better for me to go. Get it. All these sort of things. And these guys were, even if I was there, I would not get it at all, because I'm so in the now. I'm so in the now, and I'm really excited about it. But then he's giving all these hints, and he's telling the people that it's the disciples that he's going to go, but they're not getting it. And they haven't got it, but then suddenly everything just happened like that. And then bang, he was arrested, and he was judged overnight, and then he was crucified. And I'm sure if I was, because I hung out with Jesus a lot more in those 3.5 years, I would be always expecting, there's a miracle coming, there's a miracle coming. And the thing is, when Peter cuts the ear off, one of the soldiers, what does Jesus do? He puts it back. Then you're thinking, oh my gosh, the miracle's coming, the miracle's coming. Nothing's going to happen to this guy. But then suddenly, nothing's happening. Nothing's happening. All the dreams of these people are shattered. One of their own, who was with them for 3.5 years, has betrayed them. There's so much happening in their lives, just like that. And suddenly, they were the bosses, they were walking around. And there's no future. What are we going to do now? We gave up everything. We gave up our fishing. We gave up all that we were doing. And now, there is no future. What are we going to do? And also in the Bible, it says that they were scared. I think chapter 19 of John, it says they were scared of the Jews. They were scared of the people, so they were locked up. They were worried about people. And there was nothing going on for them at this point of time. But then Jesus shows up to them a couple of times. But also as I was preparing, I thought, it is amazing, while we're in the middle of the miracle, we're in the middle of history making, we still don't see the whole thing happening. And I wrote, it is amazing how you could be in the middle of a history-changing moment, but we may not be aware of the significance that is happening there. The disciples were in the middle of the most significant, destiny-changing, eternity-changing moment of the life ever, and they did not realize it. And I wanted to challenge you that too this morning. You might be in the middle right now of an amazing miracle of God, but maybe you're not aware of it. But I want you to learn, I want you to see God and see, God, is this a moment, a defining moment in the life, in my life, in my family's life, my church's, my community, my city's life? Maybe you are a significant moment. You're having a significant moment right now. And the disciples could not see it. But in the midst of it all, even when they were told by Jesus, they could not see it. And then John 20, we see that the Mary goes and says, hey, comes back and says, somebody has stolen. Because even though they've been told that it's going to rise up, they did not comprehend. When the stone was rolled, she runs back and she says, somebody stole the body. Somebody stole the body. And they're like, who is it? Who has stolen the body? So they think that they're in trouble. They come and see, and they see that the body is not there, and Jesus reveals himself. But in chapter 21 of John is where I really want to have a look a little bit. After Jesus rose, he physically appeared a couple of times, and this was again as the disciples, as I said in chapter 21, about seven of them are really despondent and before he's wondering what the heck's going to happen. And then Peter says, the evening before, he says, I'm going to go fishing. I'm going to go fishing. There are times when we feel like we want to go, we need to go back. When we are stuck in something, we will go back to what we always know. So he was like, he knew just to be a fisherman, so he wanted to go back to fishing. And the other six of them would say, hey, we're also going to come with you. We're going to come with you. So what we do is we go with the familiar, and we go back to what we always know, and we go back to that, and we say, okay, we're going to go back there. And so they all went. And again, it's amazing. They haven't caught anything. They've gone back in their life, and they're at the same place because they haven't caught anything. They worked all night, and they haven't caught anything overnight. So there again, they're coming back, and then there is a man who is standing on the shore. It's in the early mornings. Maybe they could see or not, but they could hear the voice. And he says, cast the net on the other side. Cast it. And when they cast the net, again, they have a big, big catch. The thing what it really touched me was when they went back to their familiar, what Jesus did is he brought them back with the familiar. Because what he did was they knew, they recognized Jesus. Peter recognized Jesus the first time when he was asked to cast the net on the other side, and he obeyed it. And when there was a big catch, he falls on his knees and he says, Jesus, you are the Lord. And so he brings them back. He brings Peter back. When Peter goes to his familiar, Jesus does the same familiar miracle with him again, so that he is again recognizes Jesus once again. And then again, somebody says to me, he's like, whoa, what is this? We've caught this massive catch. And then we bring it in. And then somebody says, hey, I think that's the Lord. And then immediately, Peter goes back and he rushes. He dives. He puts on some clothes. He dives and he swims back to the shore. And then there Jesus was. What Jesus was like, Jesus has set a meal. Jesus has set a meal. There's a little bit of fire. There's fish on the fire. And there's some bread. And I really want to stretch my imagination. I don't know if he's bought some bread or he just made some bread, or I don't know what he's done, but he had bread early in the morning and he has got fire there and there was fish. And then he actually asked them, have you got any fish? But he's already obviously got some fish. And he brings them and he brings them and he has fish, and then they're talking about it and he feeds them. They're having communion. They're enjoying fellowship. But I was reading all of this. It really caught my attention. God wants to bring me into his presence. He's always looking at bringing me into his presence. He's not standing there looking to take an opportunity to tell you off. Because you haven't done this. After Peter has denied Jesus for three times, I don't think Jesus even gave a look, or maybe didn't even give a look, or maybe Peter was so guilt-ridden that he just knew that he has made a mistake, that he has failed, and he was really, really disappointed. And I think out of the 12 disciples, one was dead, and out of the 11, I think Peter would have been one of the worst persons who was going through, would have been going through the worst thing, because he's thinking, oh my gosh, I denied Jesus exactly as I said. And he would have been like, I want to go back and I don't want to live. I don't want to just even face him and stuff like that. But then Jesus keeps coming back to them. And this is the third time that he comes back to them and he says, hey, come on, let's have a bit of a food. Let's eat. Early in the morning, he's saying, let us eat. Let's have a bit of a meal and let's see what, and let's talk about it. And I want to read a few verses from the Bible. If you turn to John chapter 21, it is amazing what he does. So verse 15. So when you go back home, read this. Read from chapter 19. You will actually have a really good understanding of what's going on. John chapter 19 onwards, 19, 20, and 21. And I'm reading from verse 15. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Jesus knew you need to first get the tummies full before he can actually talk some sense. And it is so important. There are times when we are talking to people. If you talk to me when I'm hungry, man, you're getting nothing into my head. You got to first feed me, calm me down, and then you tell me I will listen. I'm sure most of the guys are nodding their head, and some of the women too are saying, yep. And all some of the women are nodding their heads because they know that their husbands need to be fed or their sons need to be fed before they can actually even say, talk any sense to them. Because when they walk into the house and you're trying to tell them something, nothing gets in. So put some food in their tummies, and then you women start talking and pray that they'll hopefully will listen to you guys. But Jesus knew, Jesus caught it. So what Jesus did was, this is amazing. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, this is amazing. He has fed them. If you have an important question to talk to someone, feed them. Just make it a very nice environment. Don't be hostile environment, but let it be a nice environment. So it is. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? Yeah. Do you love me? And of course he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him again a second time, Simon, I love you. Jonah, do you love me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to them, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him, the third time, do you love me? So this morning, I believe God is asking the same question to you and me. And he's asking the same question to me too, to say, Sanjay. And Jesus is very particular with the name, because Simon, there was a lot of Simons. So he's saying, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? So he's saying, it's very specific, it's very personal. He's saying to you, put your name and put your father's name there. And they're saying, hey, Sanjay, son of Charles, do you love me? The same thing he's saying to you, Nathaniel, son of Sanjay, do you love me? Do you love me? He's asking you this question. And he's saying, hey, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Maybe he denied three times, so there was three times that he was making sure that he was confessing again three times and saying, hey, Jesus, yes, I do love you. But the amazing thing is when God draws you into loving him, he has a purpose for you. There was a time when these guys have completely lost their purpose. They have no purpose. They lost everything. But then Jesus brings them back in and he gives them purpose. And he's saying, there's a purpose. The purpose is tend my sheep, or take care of my sheep, take care of my lamb, or take care of the people around you. And also, as you know, we're doing a series on revival, and we are going by the acronym. We said R. We've done R, and receive everything that God has for you. E, embrace. Embrace everything that God has for you. And V, we said visualize who God says you are. And now I just want to mention today, I is initiate your faith. Initiate your faith. This morning, Jesus is asking, he's saying, hey, do you love me? Do you love me today? And some of us may be saying, what does that look like? I have no idea what does loving Jesus look like. But it is basically saying, Jesus, I will put my faith in you. I'll put my hope in you. On Good Friday night, we spoke about hope. Hope is about the future. knowing that that we our hope, our future is secure. And so Jesus, by raising from the dead, and I was thinking, okay, Jesus died on the cross. That's good enough. Why did he have to rise up? If he wouldn't have risen up, what would have happened? If he wouldn't have risen up, we would not be rising up with him. There's a whole series that you could do. You would not be rising up with him and going with him. And there are a lot of other things. But then Jay John at the conference, he was saying this. He said, if there are two roads leading and you're at the crossroad here, and there are two roads, there are two paths, and there's one guy. Is dead guy, and there's a tomb, and there's a dead guy, and there's another guy, there's a tomb. There are two tombs on the way, on each way, and in one tomb, the dead guy is still there. On another way, there's a tomb, but he's risen, he's alive. Whose voice would you listen to? Whose direction would you listen to? So this is proven that Jesus rose from the dead. And then look at lives around the world, and for the last 2,000 years, growing. There are times when we feel and we are told that gospel is not being preached and it is coming down and things are not happening. But if you just look at the numbers in China, the amount of people who are becoming Christian in the most persecuted nation are just phenomenal, phenomenal, phenomenal. And people are getting to know Christ, not just because of the head knowledge, but there is something happening in their hearts. So this morning, I believe Jesus wants to do something in your heart this morning. All right? So what I want you to do is just take a few moments, and maybe you've been in church for a while, and maybe you're disappointed, you're discouraged like the disciples, and you're wondering what the heck's going on in my life. Or what this guy keeps telling is like, oh, it sounds so good, but is it absolutely true? Or maybe you're saying, oh, you have no idea what I'm going through. You're just talking some fairy tale to me. But this morning I want to say to you, this is not a fairy tale. This is something that is absolutely true that has happened. The reason that I stand here is just because of the goodness of God. There are times that things have happened in my life. I'm sure if you ask any Christian, there were things that have happened in their lives. But out of all of this, you can see that God has come through in your lives. Please don't delay, because the reason that I say please don't delay is you can have the fullness of life. You can have a life full of purpose. Maybe you've lost your purpose, but God gives you purpose when you get into His presence. There's an amazing song that we're going to do. Deborah is going to come and sing this song, which says, it is going to be okay. Maybe you're completely disappointed in life, like these disciples. Maybe you're really there is no sense of future. You're just completely confused this morning. But I want to say to you, God says He loves you. Here, God says He's after you. And also, I want to make it very clear to each one of you that are here. I'm not just talking to people who are far away from God, but I'm talking to people who are very close to God this morning too. Even though you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, even though you're filled with the Holy Spirit, even though you're speaking tongues this morning, even though you have seen miracles happening through your life, and you're a great preacher, great, great ministry sort of thing, but still in the midst of all of this, I want to say we're still broken people. We're still broken people, and we need a fresh anointing of God in our lives. Maybe there are areas in your life which you wish, we are hoping that God would break through in your life, and you're saying, God, come into my life. Come into this room that I've shut down, but please come into my room. I'm going to open this room, not just into a couple of rooms, but into all these rooms. Please do come. You're the Lord of my life. Not just Lord of the living room, not just Lord of the veranda, not the Lord of so-and-so room, but you're saying, God, you're the Lord of my heart, every bit of my heart. This morning, I'm speaking to myself, and I'm saying as I just sit down and just listen to this song, and the words are going to be played, just know the song says, it is going to be okay.
so you've got to just be strong. And it's a fight just to keep it together, together. I know you think that you were too far gone, but hope is never lost. Hope is never lost.
Yes, it is going to be okay. Let's stand to our feet this morning. And whatever you're going through in life right now, maybe no one knows but you. And you, as the song says, you may think you've gone too far to actually get back to God or get back in life. You feel like you can't get on top of it. But our God says, no, no. It's not done. It's not done. It is going to be okay. The reason that it's going to be okay is not just because of a hope we have in tomorrow, but because of the hope we hope in tomorrow because of Jesus. That is the hope that we have. So just talk to God this morning and say, God, you know my situation. And you're not the only one. Let me be also very clear with you. And that's how I've started. And I said, we're a bunch of broken people. We're a bunch of broken people. And the reason that we come together, and the reason that we worship God, worship Jesus, is because we need His help in our lives on a regular basis. And that's the only reason why we do what we do. And the relationship that I have with Jesus is because I need Him desperately. Every aspect of my life. So as every eye closed, head head bowed and you're having your own conversation with God. If there's anyone here this morning who's saying, I need God back into my life. I need God into my life. Maybe you have been saying, another day, tomorrow, I'll do another day, another day, another day. Years have gone by. But this morning I just want to say, hey, if that's you, and say, Jesus, I want you into my life. Or even if you're saying, hey, not the first time, but because of life, you're saying, I need God back into my life. We're just going to pray with you. But if that's you, just quickly, if you just show, put your hand up so that I can acknowledge and we can pray for you. And it's also a step of faith in saying, God, I'm serious about you.